And it's a protege, eh?
Yeah.
Chronics are where you stay, eh?
Yeah. Okay. Who knows? Who knows? Who knows? Who knows? I just go where the trade wind blows, sending love to my friends and foes. And I suppose I'm pleased to be chilling in the West Indies. I provide all my wants and needs. I got the sunshine, rivers and trees.
When me see Jah, me see a way. Drastically straight from hypocrisy, I say, hey.
Welcome back, my doers, dreamers, and builders, to this season of Born to Build. I'm your host, Romania Hunter. If this is your first time tuning in, welcome to the journey. If you've been rolling with me from the beginning, you know we keep it real, raw, and resilient over here. Today's episode is one that I didn't plan, per usual. As the ideas flow, I will be sending them your way. But I had to live it today. I went through what I'm about to talk about literally today, and I figured it would be a great idea to put it in a podcast. So today I'm going to talk about what happens when the money dries up, the vision gets blurry, and your hustle needs a backup plan. This one's for the bootstrappers who are running out of boots and maybe even out of straps. But guess what? You are not out of options. I'm going to break today's episode into four segments just to help you with your thought process for basically tackling certain issues that you're having whenever it comes on to funding a business, funding a project, funding an idea. So the first segment, we are going to talk about bootstrap burnout. No one really talks about how exhausting it can be to run your own business when you are the marketer, the advertiser, the customer service rep, the person that does all the balance sheets, whether you know you're using QuickBooks, whatever it is. When you are a small business owner, you wear many hats, and this sometimes can cause burnout. So right now, I'm deep in a real estate project. Personal funds are stretched to capacity, aka when I have no money. I'm also launching a new business that has so much potential, but without marketing dollars, it's like having a car with no gas. And I'll be honest with you, I hit a wall. The ideas are there. And if you're listening to this, I'm sure ideas are not few. We think of ideas daily, like maybe like 100 a day. Like as soon as I see something, I come up with a business idea. But the talent is there for whatever I'm working on right now. I have the talent. The issue is I don't have the money. Have you ever been here before? I had to stop and say, girl, it's time to put your big girl pants on and do what you've been avoiding. Go meet the clients, go shake hands with partners. For those that know me personally, I can be an extrovert. But sometimes when it comes on to going out there and meeting people, I kind of like to stay in my bubble. But here's the problem. Hustle fills time, not always the bank account. And if you're starting a venture, you know that the first few months, there's no money coming in. It's all about building relationships, building out the ecosystem for your business, and you're not getting paid. So here's what I did. I did something radical. I started job hunting. Yes, this entrepreneur started looking for a corporate job Which is very unlikely because I've never worked in corporate America, had no anticipation to do so. But because I don't want to take on any more debt and I'm trying to be frugal, I decided to put my education to use, right? Now that I have this title to my resume, MBA, why not? Why not make some money off it? So that was the first thing I did. I figured out what my assets were. How can I utilize them? And what jobs fit this criteria? So I have been using that as the guideline to find a higher paying job, as well as jobs that I'd like. Because I'm not someone that works for money. I work for passion. So if I'm going to work in someone's business, I need to at least enjoy it. Next, let's get into segment two. So segment two, we're going to talk about making the mental shift from hustler to hired. Let's get out of hustler mode. I know we have this tendency as Caribbean people or in general to be so used to hustling. We're over here doing 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 jobs and it's still not adding up, right? So we have to change how we view income. So here's where I want to drop some real talk on you. For years, I felt like going corporate meant giving up because I have my own entrepreneurial pursuits. I've always been an entrepreneur since I was 14 years old. I have made my own money hustling, but I am in my 30s and I am tired of hustling. Right? But here's the truth. Going corporate temporarily doesn't mean you're quitting. It means you're investing in your dream differently, aka we're bootstrapping. So let me break it down for you real quickly. All right. So I'm going to explain a few things to you, and I want you to take out your pencil, take out your notebook, or take out your journal on your phone. We're going to create an asset mapping tool. And I want you to go back to this tool whenever you meet a hard place, right? Whenever you're trying to figure out how to get money, how to raise money for certain things, these are the tools that I want you to use and say, okay, Romania told me to do this. Alrighty. Let me just wait for you to grab your journal, relax, and listen. We're going to talk about 5 tools that you should use whenever you're mapping out your assets. And for those of you that don't know, an asset is basically, it would be something that gives you return. In this instance, we're going to refer to assets as attributes or strengths. So that's the asset we're referring to. What are the things, what are the skills that you currently have that you can use to make some money or that a job would be willing to pay you for at a higher rate, right? So the first is, what skills do I use every day as an entrepreneur? And you don't have to be an entrepreneur. You can have right now, you can currently right now be in a corporate job. You can currently be in school right now, but you want to raise some money. The first thing that I want you to think about is, what skills do I use every day as an entrepreneur? For example, for myself, I've realized that I am really good at strategies. I am great at strategies. I am very good at branding and identifying different creative ways of marketing. I'm also great with people. I have built a successful business based off word of mouth because of my personality and also the fact that I did a really, really good job as a nail tech. But to be honest, I swear I did therapy for my clients. Most of my clients came to me about their problems. So I am very good at picking up on things that people need, and I'm a problem solver. So while looking for jobs, And this, I just found out that strategy directors or executive strategy director jobs are now becoming famous. In the past, when I used to look for jobs like that, I couldn't find jobs that mentioned strategies. They mostly wanted managers. I think society is shifting in a more entrepreneurial world, and I'm happy that I stayed on this path, because the jobs that I'm looking for, based off the fact that I'm a strategist, they pay really well. And given that I'll be now acquiring an MBA, I'm getting an even higher salary. So perfect timing. So number two, I want you to write this down. What businesses have I built or helped grow? So this is important whenever writing your resume. I'm currently redoing my resume, and I'm not sure if it's helpful because I'm not really that versed on resumes, but I have been curating my resumes for different industries. But one thing that I have put on my resume to kind of like help me stand out was I have built 3 successful businesses. And success doesn't have to mean money, right? If we should only measure our success based off money, then we're not going to feel successful. So let's not use money as the only metric. There's other metrics to building a successful business. So I have built 3 successful businesses. The rest I would call hustles, but I have learned certain skills and I made sure to put them under my resume. And I have also helped friends build companies as well. So I was able to put that on my resume to stand out as a person that's very versed in strategies and processes. Number 3, write this down. What results have I created that a company could value? So let's say that again. What results have I created that a company could value? So this can be anything like, okay, let's see, maybe you have grown your Instagram following from 100 to 5,000 followers. Maybe you're great at team leadership. Maybe you're great at conflict solving. Maybe you're great at crisis management. Maybe you're great at revenue growth. You know, these are things that we want to make sure that we put down as our assets, because companies will pay you for these skills that you have built over time. Number 4, what degree, certificate, or experience am I currently earning? For me, I'm going to always throw this out there. I'm getting my MBA at Babson College. I feel like that's like my introduction to every email I send out. Listen, I'm paying for a well-rounded education. I am going to be throwing it all over. Okay. I have no shame in my game. Whenever I'm trying to build relationships with certain partners in my communities, I put that in my email. I put Romania Hunter, MBA pending, you know, listen, put it out there. Don't be shy. If you have a certificate in, for example, one of the jobs that I applied for was for a city manager position. I know I was not qualified, but I still shoot my shot. And they asked if, you know, if I'm with FARBAR, which is a government agency in Florida that does like certifications. And I put yes. I put that I'm a realtor on there as well, because I know that, you know, working for the government, they want to make sure that you understand certain policies, and doing real estate, you get to understand certain things as it relates to the law. So don't be shy to sit down and think about what certificates you had in the past. If it's relevant to your resume, put it on there. And sometimes certain certificates can tell the type of skills that you have, even if you think it's not relevant. Just Google it real quick. Like, for example, if you have like, I don't know what to say off the top of my head, but certain certificates, like I think there's a Sigma belt certificate that I'm thinking to get. And with that certificate, that's going to like help me to stand out on my resume, because I guess they teach you project management. So even if you don't have the certificates right now, think about what certificate can you get within a 1 to 2 month time frame or 1 to 6 month time frame that can help prepare you for the job that you have your eyes on. Or one thing that I did too, like in my cover letter, I said to the county of Palm Beach, I was like, I am willing to take certain certificate classes if it will, you know, if it's necessary for the job. Don't be scared to put that on your resume or put that out there, because people are willing to teach you. Once you have the basic foundations and certain skills that they're looking for, they are willing to teach you the rest. Okay. Certain things you can learn on the job. Number five, what roles align with these assets and pay what I'm worth? Let's see. I'm going to say that one more time. What roles align with these assets that will pay you what you're worth? So for me, I have been doing some research about how I can get into consulting, because personally, I have consulted with a few friends that have started businesses, and based off what I've seen, the advice that I give them, the resources that I give them has been super beneficial. It has brought in revenue in their business. It has allowed them to be better leaders, better managers. So after my MBA intermittently, I'm thinking about taking a few more classes to improve my future self, right? So think about where you want to be in the future. You know, do you have those strengths? Do you have those skills currently? And if you don't have them, that's okay, right? You have time to grow. How can you attain these strengths, or how can you attain these skills that you're going to need for the position that you're looking for? If you're looking to be the director of operations, what are the qualifications that a director of operations need? And I'm not talking about college education. I'm talking about skills. Because we have to understand that people will hire you not just because you have like a graduate degree. They'll hire you based off how many years you've been in a certain job. So don't get intimidated by, you know, having a graduate degree, because you can learn certain skills. And if you invest in certain certification classes, I think Coursera is very good at that. I signed up to take a few classes with them. Whenever I get bored, I always like take classes like for a month. I'm always doing some class about something, because I think about where I'm headed in the future and what do I need to learn. So I try to retrain myself. I try to better myself. I try to better my skills, or I try to offer my time to others so in return I can learn certain things and I can better my skills, right? So I want you guys to think about those asset mapping tools. and basically this activity is not like about downgrading, it's about like packaging. We have to think about ourselves. We have to think about ourselves as, I want to say, a product, right? When you purchase something from Amazon or Walmart, it comes in a certain package. Think about selling yourself like that package. How would you brand yourself to jobs? How would you brand yourself to investors? How would you brand yourself to partners? Everything that you do, you are your brand. So you want to make sure, honey, you look very attractive. So work on those things. I forgot to bring my water, but I'll hold out. So we're going to move on to segment three. And this segment, and I want you guys to mentally prepare what I'm getting you ready for. So that's why I am speaking out loud what I am going to speak about, because I want you to prepare yourselves. So now I'm going to talk about how to fund your business without killing your dream. Let me say that one more time. How to fund your business without killing your dream. A lot of times I see like persons in jobs and they think that, oh, I have to do this job for 10 years to get retirement, so I can't like get to acquire my dream. That's not true. One thing that I have learned from being an entrepreneur is that if you are disciplined enough, which I'm not, but I still get stuff done. I think I'm just really probably good at I don't know. I have the worst time management, I think, but at the same time I get things done. So if you find a path, and I'm not going to use the word discipline because I feel like that word is so overused. If you find a way to work smart, you can fund your dream as well as doing a corporate job or working for the man. You know what I mean? But you have to be strategic about it. So I am going to give you guys 3 real life tools to help you pivot strategically when you're trying to build your dream while working, right? So, number 1, bridge job strategy. So what I want you to do is to choose a high-paying job that aligns with your long-term goals. You're not just taking any job. You're taking a bridge role. And what that means is you want to find a job that puts you in the position for your future job. If you think about what a bridge is, like, right? A bridge connects 2 islands. You're on the left side of the mainland. It connects 2 things, basically. It can be 2 islands as well, or the mainland and the island. You get the idea. But let's think about mentally what a bridge is. You're on the left on the mainland, and you want to get to the right side of an island or another piece of land, per se. You're not able to jump from the left to the right. You need something in the middle, right, to take you over to the other side. And that's how you're going to look at your future job. You want to think about a bridge role where you can grow your network, where you can be put in a position to find people that are going to help you to get to where you need to get to. Okay? We have to think strategically. You want to find something that pays you enough to reinvest. So currently, I'm looking for jobs that are going to pay me over $200,000. $300,000, I'd be happy. A lot of people, like my friends, would be like, oh, that's a lot of money. It's doable. That's where I see myself. That's my bridge job. I need a job that can pay me enough so I can outsource a lot of things that needs to be done in my business. That's how I get stuff done. You also want to use your leadership, not just your labor. I think society has conformed us to think that, like, for example, and I have a lot of thoughts running through my head, so be patient with me. But for example, like when I was building my business, I worked for other people, but I negotiated. I was like, okay, I have my own company. You want me to work for you? You're going to have to at least pay me X amount of dollars. And then I use that X amount of dollars and I hire somebody to work for me and do other things, right? So you want to get a job where you're able to utilize your time very well and make a lot of money off of it. And that's what I've been doing over the past few years to get to where I'm at my age, given my circumstances, is I, like, in my businesses, all my businesses have been premium. And what that means is I always charge a higher price and I give a better quality of services. And I find a way to do multiple stuff at once. I normally, and this will be for another podcast, but I normally find a way to make enough money to pay somebody else to do something else for me. And I typically outsource stuff. I'll jump into another podcast about that. I want to confuse you. But just to highlight what I just said about bridging your job strategy, you're going to grow your network. You're going to find a job that pays you enough to reinvest. And you're going to use your leadership not your labor. So we're going to use our brains here and we're going to plan things out. We're not going to go take on a job that pays us $10 an hour and then we have to do 40 to 60 hours a week. No. We're going to find us a job that pays us well enough to do just like 30, 40 hours a week so we can focus on our dream, right? Number two, 30-day self-marketing sprint. So before you spend money on marketing, and this is something I've been doing as well, and you're going to hear me talk about myself because how else are you going to learn? I am cheap, okay? I have no shame in my game. I always do my research on stuff, or I do it myself, right? And not everybody is going to be so versed to do certain things, but let me tell you, there are certain things that you can do yourself. Challenge yourself. YouTube is free. Google is free. Canva is free. If you can learn how to do certain things yourself, you're going to save so much money in business. So much money. Because if, and this is not for everyone, because some people have time, some have money. I am very cheap. So if I'm going to hire somebody to do something, best believe I already know how long it takes. So you're not going to charge me 50, like you're going to charge me for 50 hours when I know the job takes 5 hours, right? So that has been like one of the things that has saved me a lot of money in business is I challenge myself and I am willing to learn everything that I do and put my hands in. Trust me, I have done it and I know how it works. So I understand the language. The other thing will be, which is one thing that that I haven't done as yet, but the other suggestion would be for you is to host one workshop. If you're working on, let's say you want to be an influencer, because everybody wants to be an influencer today. How can you give something for free? How can you gain traction to your website, traction to the business you're building out? Whatever it is, you want to give something for free. People love a freebie, right? So if you're going to host a workshop or you're going to do like an Instagram seminar or a live or something that is of value, you can, I would say do it for free. I like to give things for free because that's when I get the most traction. And then I want you to set up 3 coffee meetings a week with potential partners. And when I say partners, it doesn't have to be financial partners. This can be something as simple as someone is in the space that you want to get into, right? If you're in real estate, if you want to be a content creator, if you are an entrepreneur and you want to start like a business, find people in your area that are already doing the things that you want to do and just set up 3 coffee meetings with them. Sit down, talk to them. You'd be surprised how much you learn. You'd be surprised how willing people are to share information. And I want you to also track your conversations. Track your conversions, because you want to create a metric to see what works and what doesn't work, right? That's how you're going to know, should I try harder here or should I go with this thing because that thing is working? And let's get into the mindset of hustling smart. Let's not hustle hard. Like, I'm in my soft girl era. I don't like to do a lot of stuff. I'm lazy right now. So I like to sit down and focus on things that are going to give me the best return, but I'm at a different stage. I have put in the hard work and I have worked really hard. So now I'm able to work smart because I have the information. If you're just starting out, my advice to you would be different. It would be to work hard first because people are going to see you when you're working hard. And then after you collect all that information, then you can start to hustle smart, if that makes sense. And then number 3, we're still on segment 3, which is how to fund your business without killing your dream. But number three under segment three would be the capital stack plan. For those of you that are not familiar, capital is money. Capital can be money, can be human resources. So I want you guys to focus on what's the minimum monthly investment your business needs. What's one service or product that you could bring immediate income from? So if you're a content creator, how can you make money, right? What service can you offer? Can you do reviews? Can you get free products that you can probably sell? The next one would be, what external income can cover the gap for 6 to 12 months? And the external income would be, what job can you do on the side? So this is a side hustle. One of the side hustles that I did when I was growing my business was before I turned doing nails into a business, I used to go to people's home and do manicures, pedicures. I used to babysit on the side and save my cash. What's that one thing that you can do to cover that gap for 6 to 12 months? It could be, if you know how to do lashes, you do lashes on the side. If you know how to like fix certain, like, I don't know, like if you're a handy guy and you can like help people put up frames in their houses, you can sign up on Thumbtack or Rabbit. Like, what can you do on the side to bring in extra income to finance what you're trying to do? You know what I mean? And one thing that I have to say is, try to find like a part-time job or a gig that you can do that's maybe not as scheduled, that you can like pick up shifts on just to get that extra cash. Because that's going to like really help. Like, I've done that in the past and it truly helps. So let's see. All right. And then for the final segment, I would say encouragement from the front lines. Like, I need you guys to remember this, and this is so important. Entrepreneurship can be a very lonely journey. It can be a very lonely journey, right? So you need motivation to keep going. I don't care how disciplined you are. You need motivation some days. Some days you're going to be like, F this. You're going to be like, fuck this. What is this? I'm not getting up out of my bed to go do something that brings in no money. Oh, I forgot to tell you. The first like few months or a year, you ain't gonna make no money. So you're gonna have to really love what you're doing or find the motivation to keep going. Right? So find that thing. Is it the friends that you hang out with? Is it following certain people on social media? Is it like, do you get your energy or encouragement by listening to motivational music, right? Do you find podcasts to listen to? Is it going to the gym to get that extra energy? Is it cooking while thinking about ideas? Figure out where your motivation and encouragement comes from and use that to motivate you. And I just want to leave you guys with this. If you're doing something and it doesn't work out, don't be scared to stop, do something else. Like, I know society places this expectation on us to say, oh, you're always quitting, you're always doing something new. If you know me personally, honey, let me tell you, every 3 to 4 or 5 months, you'll probably hear me talking about a certain type of business and you probably hear me push it to the side. And it's not because I love to give up. Like, no, I've been in the same industry for 10 years, but you have to know, and this takes a lot of courage and it takes a lot of confidence. You have to know when it's time to put that idea to rest. And if it's something that you're passionate about and it's not hindering your growth and you're really interested in it, yeah, find a way to strategize, find a way to get the resources, find a way to understand your market and keep going. But it is okay if something isn't working right now and you need to pivot. It's okay. Because you might pivot in a different direction and then things are taking off quicker, bringing in more money. And then you can spend more time on the thing that you really love that's not bringing in money. But from what I have learned, you need money. So you have to decide, are you doing this business or idea because it's a passion or just fun and it's a hobby? Or are you doing it for money? Like, there are certain things that I do for money and certain things that I do for fun, right? But at the end of the day, whatever I'm doing is always connected because I'm a very transactional person and I don't really believe in wasting my time. But there are things that I do for fun that brings me money passively. So if something is not working out right now and you need money, it's okay to pivot. Don't be ashamed. It's life. The other thing I have to say is don't be afraid to partner with stability while you build sustainability. And I am saying this to myself, right? Because I don't know. For certain, I'm not sure if you're the entrepreneur that gets really fixated on stuff. And it's not going anywhere, but you're just like, oh, I need it to work. Like, I have that. My personality does that to certain things in my life. And that's why I'm going out there to get a job, because the things that I fixated on are not giving me a certain return as yet. But I know they will, but they need money, right? So you have to know what is going to bring you stability. There's some certain things that will be sustainable, but they won't give you as much stability. So you have to identify what those things are. And above all, don't ever confuse pausing for refueling with giving up. A lot of times, and this is from a Caribbean standpoint, I am guilty of this. I have friends that remind me constantly that I'm tired. Like, whenever I used to take a break in the past, I used to be like, I'm lazy, you're lazy. That was in my 20s. Now that I'm in my 30s and I understand myself a little bit more, I understand that I solve my problems when I am most relaxed, when I've slept for 2 days, when I just be like, F it, I'm turning off the world, I'm channeling into myself. That's when I solve my problems. So sometimes you might be taking a break from certain things. You might have like a very rigorous lifestyle where you're always up and about and you feel like you're being productive, but sometimes it's not production, it's busyness. So sometimes you just need to pause and refuel and find things that give you clarity and bring you peace and recharge your energy. And it's not giving up, you're refueling. Because if you don't have the energy to keep going, then that's going to be a real issue. So take time for self. And this season of my life is showing me that the greatness is layered. Nothing comes overnight. Success is a marathon. It's not a sprint. Do not let these internet millionaires and internet successors fool you and make you feel small. Some people are lucky. Some people have to work extremely hard. And sometimes it's all about timing. You have to create a pyramid for your life. You need the base, the foundation, before you can get to the peak of your success. And I want you to understand that greatness, it's not like this flat line. It's different layers. You're going to go through those layers of depression. You're going to go through those layers of anxiety. You're going to go through those years where you're making a lot of money. You're going to go through different years where you're not making any money. You're going to go through years where you lose friends. You're going to go through years where you need to educate yourself. You're going to go through years where you need to just slow down. And it's okay. It's a part of the process. So sometimes the ultimate bootstrap move is knowing when to borrow someone else's boots for a while. And my dear friends, that's why I am getting a corporate job, because I need to borrow the man's money to fuel what I have going on. And it's going to be amazing. I'm not worried about taking a break because I'll be working in the dark. It's just that I'll be moving faster because now I have more money coming in and I'm not relying on the money from my business. So I just want to say to you, if this episode resonated with you, do me a favor. Share it with another builder in transition and leave a review. And thank you for tuning in to another episode of The Ultimate Bootstrapper.
Sunshine, rivers, and trees, leaves, yeah.
When the rain beats up a tiny roof, herb just a steam pepper, but tiny stew. Life is a dream if you got gratitude. So go tell the regime, them can't stop what we do now. Information you think on your own, or else you're